If you do have a Bible, I want you to turn to 1 Thessalonians for just a moment. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 1. And we're going to look at just one verse tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And I'm going to read one verse. Before we read that scripture, I noticed a lot of you had a very serious attitude about your cupcake tonight. And just kind of watching it, guarding it. And reminded me of a three-year-old boy that went to the grocery store with his mother, and his mother said, "Now look, don't try asking me for the chocolate chip cookies. Don't be bothering me for the chocolate chip cookies." And so he was pretty good for about 5 minutes, but as she wheeled him past the cookies, he started saying, "Mommy, Mommy, Mommy, can I have some cookies? Can I have some cookies?" And she said, "No, I told you you're not going to have cookies. Stop asking me for cookies." They went around the corner. He kept it up. "Mommy, can I have some cookies? Can I have some cookies?" "No, I told you you're not going to have cookies. Now sit down and be quiet." Finally, he asked again. She said, "I'm going to give you a spanking if you don't stop asking for cookies." And as loud as he could, so the whole store could hear him cry, he said, "In the name of our Lord Jesus, can I just have some chocolate chip cookies?" He and his mother left the store with 24 bags of chocolate chip cookies. God heard and answered his prayer. And I want you to know there's a bunch of kids in the other buildings praying tonight, not for chocolate chip cookies, but for this children's building. And I believe God's going to hear their prayers. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 1 verse, verse 3. "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." 34 years ago, when Terry and I drove a Ryder truck across Highway 138 and into the Antelope Valley, we settled into our first little apartment. It was too small for our furniture. We kind of made a makeshift office with our little computer in one corner. And we sat down on that first Saturday night, and I dictated the bulletin, and Terry typed it. And I ran to a store and ran some copies of that very first bulletin for those first 12 people. And in the bulletin, I wrote these words: "I believe today will be the beginning of a long and fruitful ministry here in the Antelope Valley." That was my heart then, and that is my heart now. God has given us 34 years of fruitful ministry, but I truly believe he has much more for us to do. The Bible tells us about a church at Thessalonica, established by the Apostle Paul on his second missionary journey. It is a church that became a mighty church. It is called by many the model church of the New Testament. It is a church that worked well. It is a church that functioned well. I don't know about you, but I like things to function well. I believe that God's a God of order. I don't like to have to mess around with things that don't function well. Sometimes I'll get on an airplane and the pilot will come on and he'll say, "We've got a couple lights flashing here in the cockpit. We're going to have to delay the takeoff. We'll keep you posted." And a lot of times I'll be sitting next to someone and maybe they've already been having alcohol or something, and they'll say something like, "Ah, come on, get the plane going. We got to keep a schedule." And I often say to them, "Hey, we don't want to go anywhere until we know this plane is fixed and working," right? I like things that are working. Whether it's a plane or whether it's a church, we ought to desire a church that is functioning for the glory of God. And this church functions so well in that they became an example, a testimony for other churches in that area. And it was from the Thessalonican church that many other churches were started, and the gospel began to go forward into the Macedonian region. Now tonight I want to show you three quick principles with respect to the blessing of God upon the church at Thessalonica. Paul mentions in verse 3, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith." A church that works is a church that has a working faith. Faith decides to trust God. The Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path." Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report." And tonight we sit here with faith in God, believing that He can bring that which we cannot presently see into our sight. They had a work of faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so this church functioned well because they were a church of faith. Now the first time we had a meal like this with our whole church was in 1988. And I'm just curious, because that year we called the banquet Giving by Faith. How many of you were here for that very first banquet in 1988? Would you stand right now? Just take a minute. Stand up if you were here in 1988. And this means that these people standing here have given, beyond their tithe, a sacrificial offering 34 times. Let's thank them for their faithfulness. In 1988, we did not own property here. We did not have a North building. We did not have an administration building. We did not have a Revels building. We did not have the Worship Center building. We did not have the Walther Center building. We did not have the Student Life Center building. In 1988, all we had was a building that had just gotten out of foreclosure, that was rather dilapidated, a building we could barely afford the payments for, and faith that God was going to do much more in the days ahead. Some of you have seen some of the videos and some of the ways that we tried to share faith about what God can do. Let's remember one of those.
As I stand on the land, it's just a dusty piece of ground, somewhat dry and barren this morning. But one day, Lord willing, there will be buildings raised up on this place, ball fields for our Christian school, a bus barn for our buses where we might be able to work on them, a beautiful auditorium, perhaps a beautiful drive entranceway onto the property. I'm hoping for a large American flag to let this community know that we love God and country. I guess I could go on all night with what God could do.
Faith decides to trust God. Faith then is demonstrated in our works. The Bible says in James 2:14, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith, if he has not works? Can that kind of faith save him? If you see a brother or sister naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them nothing to help them in their time of need, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, I have faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Even tonight as we give, it will require faith. And there's been a growth of faith in the hearts of many here tonight. And we must learn to trust God again and again. For the Bible says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure and pressed down and running over shall men give into your bosom. And it is faith that causes us to believe that even as we give tonight, sacrificially, God replenishes that. And it's like the old farmer described giving when he said, well, I look at giving this way. I shovel it out, God shovels it in. I shovel it out, God shovels it in. But God has a bigger shovel than I do. You just cannot outgive God. You trust Him by faith. I read that 2 years ago, the families in San Francisco and the families in South Dakota each gave $1,300 over a 52-week period to charity. Now, interestingly, San Franciscans earn 78% more than the average South Dakotan, which actually then means that those in South Dakota gave away 75% more of their income than the residents of San Francisco. When an executive was asked at the South Dakota Community Foundation, how could they give so generously? Her answer was simple. We were taught in church to tithe and give offerings. The answer was simple. 50% of the people in South Dakota attend church every Sunday, and just a small percentage attend church in the city of San Francisco. I believe knowing God and believing the Bible should increase our faith, that we believe God can do anything but fail. And we see here that this was a church at Thessalonica. Paul said, when I remember you, I remember your work of faith. And may that always be said about Lancaster Baptist Church. But notice the second thing he remembered. He said, I remember your labor of love. Your labor of love. This was a church that loved God. They weren't going to church because somebody put their arm behind their back. They weren't getting involved in the ministry because they felt coerced to do so. They labored with God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3 and 9, for we are laborers together with God. Let's say that together. For we are laborers together with God. One more time. We are laborers together with God. Hey, folks, tonight, we're not alone in this. He is with us. He said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And I'm thankful that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so tonight, we're here because of a labor of love. The Bible says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And I pray tonight that as we give, literally we'll say as we put our offering in, Lord, I love you. And this is an expression of my love to you. This is a part of my worship to you. You know, someone might look at a church that gives an offering like, the church is just giving an offering. But to us, it should be something very, very special, very, very sacred unto the Lord. They labored with God, and they labored for others. They wanted others to know God. The Bible says in 1 John 3 and 18, my little children, let us not love in word, but neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Galatians 5 and 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And tonight, we're saying to God that we love him and we're laboring with him, but we're saying to a generation of children, kids, we love you and we want you to learn about the Lord and to be blessed in the process of your growth spiritually. And I think tonight about our Sunday school teachers. One of the things that was told to us in the survey that we sent out about our church was that it was difficult for first-time families to know where to take their kids. We have Sunday school teachers in the Student Life Center. We have them in the modulars on the east side of the campus. We have them in the north building. We have them down at the south campus. And imagine being a first-time mom with four or five kids and trying to figure out where to take them all. And our teachers having to go sometimes a quarter of a mile away from the auditorium to teach the classes. What a blessing to consolidate and have one children's building. And I'll tell you why our teachers teach. Why they bake cookies on Saturday night and why they get lessons ready, why they carry suitcases into the children's classrooms and get up all the flannel graph. I'll tell you why they do that. Because they love the boys and girls in our Sunday school. And I think about some of our teachers, and if I mention your name, I'd like you to stand tonight. I think about the Whitlers, and I think about many years ago when their daughter Karen was shot, and how that during that time, the Whitlers, having to go to Holy Cross Hospital and having to pray, and God raised their daughter Karen up from that tragic moment in her life. But this family never stopped being faithful to the Lord. They took some time off, but as soon as they could, they were back teaching the children. You know why? They love the boys and girls in their class. I think about the Tanner family, and Jamie's sick with gallbladder illness tonight, but Dolly, you stand right here if you would. And this dear lady, I think about the Tanners last year, their son John, a highway patrol officer in our community, and in a series of events unknown to us, came to find out that he had cancer. And just this last year, the Tanners and this church family said goodbye to John. But you know, Jamie and Dolly, when the season came around for the boys and girls clubs on Wednesday night, they were right back there teaching their children, not just sitting at home and wondering why, but right back there teaching the boys and girls about Jesus. Why? Because they love those children. I think about Doug Almer, who's here tonight, who during his battle with cancer had to take a little time off, but got right back in with the children. I think about the Harris's, Jim and Lisa, if you'll stand right here, and how Jim was down at UCLA just 18 months or so ago and having a heart transplant, and yet Lisa caring for her husband, but as soon as she could, getting back in and teaching in the Sunday school. Why? Because she's laboring with Jesus and telling others about Jesus. I think about Rochelle Blazek and going through her cancer treatment, but then right back into the Sunday school. And I think about Terry, the fourth grade girls teacher, and how she's married to me and all that she puts up with tonight with that. Terry, I want you to stand. 34 years teaching in the Sunday school of Lancaster Baptist Church. Servanthood is grown-up Christianity. Servanthood is real Christianity. And whatever you do tonight in this offering, do it because you love the Lord Jesus Christ. Do it because you in your heart know that He went to Calvary, that though He was born of a virgin, though He lived a perfectly sinless life, still He went to Calvary, and the nails were driven through His hands and His feet, and the crown of thorns upon His head, and He shed His blood to wash our sins away, and He rose up again on the third day to prove that He is the Son of God. And He did it all for you, for God so loved the world that He gave to us His only begotten Son. Why do we give tonight? Because He first loved us. Why do we love tonight? Because He first loved us. Now, some people, when they give, they give to God like they're giving to the IRS. You know what I mean? But I want to encourage you tonight. Give like you're a young man putting that engagement ring on your sweetheart's finger. Like you just can't wait to do it. Like you're thankful and you're overjoyed and you just can't wait to give that ring and express your love. And tonight, let's express our love to Jesus Christ and thank Him for all that He's done. How did the church at Thessalonica become such a great church? Well, they were a church that had faith. They were a working faith church. They were a church that had a labor of love. And then I want to share this final little thought. He said, I thank God for your work of faith, your labor of love. And then this phrase, your patience of hope in Christ Jesus. Your patience of hope in Christ Jesus. Now, faith rests in the power of God. In the power of God displayed in the past and in the present. Love works in the present, but hope looks to the future. And he said they had a patience of hope. They endured trials and difficulties and sacrifices. Why? Because they believed that they would see Jesus Christ again. They believed in the imminent return of Jesus Christ. They believed that the trump of God would sound and the dead in Christ would rise first, and we which are alive and remain will join them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. This church kept on going and working and functioning well because they believed that they would see Jesus Christ imminently. And I'm going to tell you, if you believe that in your heart, it changes the way that you live. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And what a great thing to know that you and I will not have our sins judged if we are under the blood, that we can actually look forward to seeing the Lord Jesus Christ someday. And so they anticipated that day. They looked forward to that day. They believed that they would be delivered from the wrath to come. But not only did they anticipate the return of Christ, but they also encouraged other workers for the Lord as they were faithful for Christ. And I want to read this final verse to you, verse 7. It says this, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. They had such a work of faith. They had such a labor of love. They had such patience in difficulty that all the other churches in the region looked to them and said, if God could do it in Thessalonica, then maybe He can do it here. And I believe tonight there are people that look and they say, if God could do that in Lancaster, California, then God can do it in our city, and He can allow us to see souls saved and lives change. And I want to remind you tonight that as Thessalonica was used to be a blessing, it is our heart to be a blessing. We support 230 missionaries all around the world tonight, many of whom are watching us tonight by way of live stream. And we want to be a blessing to them in this hour. They're watching tonight. We have nearly 3,000 graduates from West Coast Baptist College, many of whom are watching by way of live stream. stream tonight. And we want to be a blessing to them tonight to say, our faith is still working. We're still loving God and waiting for His soon return. There are over 2,000 children, if you include all of the departments and bus children and all of those in the various Sunday schools. And they're watching tonight and they're wondering, when's that building going to have a groundbreaking? And may I simply say tonight that we want to encourage their faith as we are faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight, may we be a church with a great faith, a work of faith, a labor of love, and a patience of hope. Those are the three characteristics of a functioning church. Let's say them together. A work of faith, a labor of love, and a patience of hope. One more time. A work of faith, a labor of love, and a patience of hope. Some of you saw our grandson Chandler this morning on the little video. He was the one that said, "The last shall be first." Remember that little line? And I've been thinking all week long, and I didn't bring a slide of Chandler, but I've been thinking all week long of a time a few years ago when he was down at Kaiser Sunset having lung surgery for a very difficult pneumonia. And there were many difficult moments in that as a parent watching your daughter go through that with her child and then watching your grandchild and just the whole process of it. But there was one day in particular, and I'll never forget it as long as I live. They were simply trying to get an IV PICC line into his little arm. And there he was on the bed, and we were trying to comfort him and calm him and then hold him. The first nurse came and tried two or three times on one arm and trying to get that PICC line established, and he was crying, "Owie, owie, owie," and tears were just flowing. And the second nurse came, trying that same arm and trying to get the PICC in. The third nurse, the fourth nurse, the fifth nurse. Terry and I were bent over the bed. We were just weeping. Our tears were falling on little Chandler. I was crying out to God, "God, please help the needle to get in there. These little tiny collapsed little veins, just one, Lord." The sixth nurse, the seventh nurse came in. He was United States Marine Corps. Huge arms bulging out of the out of that blue, kind of like mine, but maybe not quite as big, but pretty big. And I'm thinking to myself, he's going to put an IV in Chandler's arm? I just didn't know how to handle the sight that was before me. I kid you not, that Marine took our grandson's arm and in the first try put an IV PICC right in his little arm. He still cried, but the work was done. And as I think about the children of the Antelope Valley, and I think about so many of the single parents, 31% of our families in this valley, and I think about the help that they need with tutoring, the help that they need maybe for a godly man to talk to their son, the help that they need to get their family on the right path, and many of them are going to go from place to place to place. And it's my prayer that because of what we do tonight, there will be a resounding message throughout this valley that this is the place if you need love for your family and love for your children. And if they've tried other things and maybe they've got messed up with something on the internet or they've got messed up with the wrong friends and this counseling didn't pass or help and this marriage fell apart and it seems like every other relationship has failed, that there is a place where they can come where people have a working faith and a laboring love and a patience for Jesus Christ, and they'll know that they can get the help they need at the Lancaster Baptist Church. Folks, this must be the place. This must be the place where grace meets the shame and the hurt and the difficulty of so many people. And so tonight, I just simply want to say, let's be a church that's functioning scripturally, and let's be the church that reaches forth for the glory of God. Even tonight, let's pray together. Father, thank you for the church at Thessalonica 2,000 years later. We hear their testimony and how you use them. So, Lord, we pray tonight that you would help.